San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from KFMB with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. You can hear us via an app if you download it. That's 760 KFMB. We're streaming live on 760KFMB.com. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's an accomplished marathon runner. He's a best-selling author. He's a philanthropist, and he is a family office expert advising several high-net-worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, how are you tonight?
A marvelous, Joe.
That is great.
It's great to be here. I had to fight my way through the traffic because there's a street fair going on Convoy.
Well, there's stuff going on all over town. Yeah. They opened that big park down by the county today, so congratulations to Ron Roberts and everybody involved down there. Saw some of the pictures online, and it looked fabulous. And you know about that, right, Richard?
I know about it, yeah. The eyesore is now a nice park.
That's right. I'm working on it 10 or 15 years, so it's nice to see things finally come to fruition, government projects.
That was fast.
Yeah. Hey, and congrats again to, I guess, Billie Jean King was in town again this week, Monday, and you and I went to that wonderful luncheon. Didn't you enjoy that?
It was fun. Last week's guest, Russell Geiser, who owns the San Diego Aviators tennis team, the new world team tennis
franchise
here in San Diego. So Billie Jean was out doing a press conference and a luncheon. It was a neat event. Good to see her.
At the very nice Rancho Valencia. Yeah, so that was...
And it was really well attended. Some legends of tennis in the room.
Yeah.
Plus me.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good time, though. A lot of fun. Hey, I had three margaritas. I didn't have three. We ordered three margaritas afterward because of Cinco de Mayo, and I was a guest of, you know, two other people, and the check came was $58 for three margaritas. So needless to say, I only had one. But anyway, it's a wonderful facility. It was a very nice place. Hey, Tuesday was the Give Big annual campaign. They raised $1.1 million. Did you see that, Richard, for the through the San Diego Community Foundation?
Yeah, actually, I had a meeting with the Community Foundation on, I think it was Wednesday, coincidentally.
Nice.
They were real happy with the results.
Yeah. Boy, that is something else, I'm telling you. 333, I guess, charities all over throughout San Diego are going to share in that.
Yeah.
And of course, they raise. You know, each charity has to raise their own, but they kind of spearhead the whole thing. But it's really kind of cool. And there's going to be some matching funds that enhance all those donations.
That's a neat story. You know, they don't do that every year. I think the last time they did it was in 2010 or 2011.
Really? Well, they need to do it every
year. Yeah, they need to do it every year.
And the opera, I think, is going to survive. I think they've raised over $1 million through its online funding.
They're going to get new leadership, though?
I think they are. I think
they're better.
I think Mr. Campbell's been, he's on leave right now, so we'll see what happens. And of course, half the board resigned.
Him and the president of the Clippers on leave.
Hey, maybe Donald Sterling will buy the opera, and maybe Campbell will go up to the Clippers. Who knows? We'll trade them. But anyway, so that's some of the news items. How about we get into the show tonight?
Why not? I think that's why we're here.
Yeah, we've got two important guests. The first guest is a big fan of the show, and he is the first vice president of Regents Bank, and he's named one of the top executives of under 40 or whatever.
He's still under 40. He's 39. What do you do next year, Sean?
Yeah, he's got a great reputation, and his name is Sean Puckett. How are you doing, Sean? Good to see you.
Great, Joe. Thanks for having me again. It's been a great day and a great week.
Yes, and you brought one of your clients with you, who's the president and CIO of an up-and-coming IT firm in town, or high-tech firm, and it's Centrix IT. And his name is Eric Rockwell. Eric, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, Joe. How are you doing?
Super, super.
Hey, Eric, you drove all the way here from Descanso?
That is correct.
What were you doing out there?
I was at a very unique wedding. It was in a beautiful setting, about 20 minutes away from any paved road.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
I think it's officially known as the Styx.
Wow. It's.
I grew up out in Lakeside, and we consider Descanso the Styx. So what does that tell you?
That's exactly where I was.
Yeah. But I guess for guests who are not as familiar with Sean as we are, maybe Sean, just give us a little background on, you know, who you are and what you do, and then we'll get into the rest of the show. What do you say? So you born and raised San Diego? I forget. I mean, you have to refresh me on all this.
He's a Marine child. Yeah. I'm a military brat. My dad was a Marine officer. I moved out here when I was 10 years old, and so this is home to me.
Okay.
Although my roots are in Indiana.
Wow.
So you can trust me, Joe.
So, okay.
I'm from the Midwest.
From the Midwest. Sean told me that he hasn't been surfing enough.
Yeah. But, I mean, high school, college, was that Midwest or also, or where'd you go to college?
Yeah, no. So high school in Okinawa, Japan.
Wow.
Yeah, I know you have a lot of friends from there and that everybody, yeah.
They live very long in Okinawa.
Yeah, that's right. We do.
We do.
We do. And I came back and went to Richard's alma mater, USD.
Ah, okay.
For college never was able to leave San Diego because I'm a big surfer and this is the place to be.
That happens. People, you know, you show up here once and you never want to leave. Yeah. So happened to me.
Yeah.
And of course, Richard got here when he was about 9 years old. So
1969, I was 10.
Yeah. So then after college, how'd you get into banking and finance and wind up at Regions? Just real quick thumbnail.
Well, I won't bore you with the details, but after a couple of sales positions, I was recruited into banking because I used to interface with banks all the time. And I got recruited as a lender about 15 years ago. And I've been lending money to small and medium-sized businesses for the last 15 years. I've probably looked at 2,500 companies, and I've probably made about 350 loans to small and medium-sized businesses over 15 years. So it's been a quick ride.
There you go.
You do more than that, don't you, Sean?
I do. Yes. Thank you. I like to think of myself as a strategic banking advisor to my clients, and I like to ask them questions like, what's your succession plan? Where are you going? What's the end game of this business? And I like to back into some resources, whether they be finance or just advisors around town to help people accomplish their goals.
Yeah, Sean, for our listeners, Sean does an amazing job of introducing people in his network to other people in his network.
So it's a whole team of expertise when you work with a client. It's not just yourself, although you've got a great knowledge and expertise as well.
Yeah, it's just the collaboration. You know, there's so much intellectual capital in San Diego, and if you know the right people and you leverage that for other people's benefit, it's just it's the beauty of collaboration. And Richard knows it well because he partially wrote the book.
Actually, you guys wrote the book. So Sean just gave me something from Star San Diego, Strategic Trusted Advisors Roundtable, where you put everything that you need to know about Star on one little, it's about 5x6 postcard. It's really cool.
Nice.
StarSanDiego.com. Check it out.
Yeah. And the website's got a hyphen in there, right?
Star-SanDiego.com.
Right.
That would be a hyphen, yes.
Those are great dynamic meetings. People should try, if you're professional and want a good networking opportunity.
Oh, it's fun stuff.
Yeah.
Three meetings a month, downtown, UTC, Carlsbad.
Well, the settings are nice, too. University Club, can't go wrong there.
The Crossings.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
But so, Sean, how'd you wind up at Regions? And you've been with them how long?
I've been with Regions Bank about 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. And, one of the premier entrepreneurial and consultative bankers, Dan Yates, recruited me to Regions Bank from California Bank and Trust.
Mm-hmm.
And, when I met him and learned what the backbone of Regions Bank was and what the culture was, it was a perfect fit for what I was already deploying into the market. And they made me a good offer, and it was just a great fit. So that's 2.5 years ago. It's gone by really quickly. But, I found a great home and a bank that really celebrates their bankers going out and giving advice and collaborating and doing all the things that a banker should do.
It's a community bank, right? I mean, that's the way it should be. So, banking's gotten a bad name, but the community banks, local banks have generally done wonders compared to some of the bigger picture. Wouldn't you say? Isn't that accurate?
I think it's accurate, yeah. But the sad story is there's just fewer of us around.
Yeah.
You know, Regions Bank used to be a $350 million bank. And now we're a $2.5 billion bank, because if we're not at least over a billion, you're not relevant anymore, based on kind of the regulatory environment.
Yeah, the Dodd-Frank, the regulation is tough on smaller banks.
Yeah, right. It's unfortunate.
There's no question about that.
But now as a $2.5 billion bank, I think we're big enough to have all the bells and whistles, but still small enough to handle people the way we should.
But you guys can make decisions locally, right?
We can make decisions locally, and we have a large legal lending limit that can support 99% of the businesses that are based in San Diego.
Mm-hmm. And you're in the downtown office on Broadway, is that correct?
Yep, on the fifth floor of the Kohl Center on West Broadway.
Wonderful. All right, let's take our break now. We're going to get
Sean
into
Sean brought a guest. Yeah, we've got to introduce him right after the break.
Right,
Joe.
We're going to talk to Eric some more. We'll come right back after our break, so stay tuned. Hang on. All right, we are back with It's Your Money and Your Life, the award-winning show with Vice President Sean Puckett from Regions Bank and president and CIO of Centrex IT. Am I saying that right, Eric Rockwell?
You are saying that great.
Excellent. Well, I guess we should turn to, how did you gentlemen meet? That's always an interesting story.
Well, we were both arrested one night.
Same jail cell.
Well, standard. I wonder how bankers find clients or clients find bankers.
They have a very high-performing chief of sales in their company, and he and I were having lunch. Mm. And he said, hey, Centrex is talking to banks right now. You ought to go talk to those guys.
And that's how it happened.
That's how it started.
Yeah. And you were talking to banks, Eric, because you guys were growing quickly?
That's right.
Okay. That was a good guess by a CPA.
That's right.
So we should get into Eric's.
How quickly were you growing?
Well, we grew 59% last year.
Wow.
And we've been growing year over year, anywhere between 20 and 60% for the last 5 years.
Whoa. All right, let's back up a little bit, though. Joe likes history.
Well, we like to find out, you know, what part of the country you grew up in, where you went to school, and how you wound up at, you know, your company now. So if you can run through that quickly, right?
Yep. Well, I was born in Santa Barbara. My parents moved here before I was one, so I grew up in San Diego, went to school in San Diego. And when I was in high school, I started playing the drums because I thought the drums were really cool. And so I kept doing that, and I got in a band. And there's some relevance to this.
Okay.
So I was going to school and working at a computer store in Mission Valley. And I ran into the singer in my band's cousin, Dylan.
Okay.
And he recognized me. And I ran into him at Fry's Electronics one day, actually, in about 2001. So he was doing computer stuff out of his garage and servicing a couple clients, doing basic repair.
Isn't that how it starts?
that's how it started.
Yeah. So the rock and roll career didn't work out?
Well, it almost did, and I actually had to make a choice at one point, but before that happened.
So was your band? What was your band's name then?
Safety Orange.
Safety Orange. And you guys are getting a lot of gigs around town and some notoriety? And
they're still playing together right now. They do,
really?
They do 4 or 5 tours every year.
Wow.
And it got to the point where we were playing, you know, maybe 5 shows a year, having fun.
Is this a San Diego band? I mean, they're
San
all
Diego band, yep.
Wow, like Blink 182, huh?
Yep, played with those guys back in 99 at Selma.
Oh my gosh.
So
if they ever do a concert here, they could let you sit in, do a guest set or something.
That's right.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be awesome.
And get the whole bank there.
So how big were the crowds you played in front of?
Anywhere between 5 people at a dive bar that was terrible and 20,000 people at the X Games.
Oh wow. So you're at the X Games. Cool.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, we actually had 4 songs on the X Games DVD.
Oh, wow.
Neat. So you guys are pretty accomplished.
We did some cool stuff. So we had all original songs. Mm-hmm. And one day, the singer, Sol, he said, hey, my friend's band, they're playing all these cover songs and getting all these shows, and they're getting paid to play. But we thought we were too cool to play other people's songs and had to write our own songs. And so we finally outgrew that and decided to play some cover songs, stuff we loved, like Sublime and 311, Red Hot Chili Peppers. And
yeah, mix it in. Why
mix
not?
It in, yeah. Learned a bunch of stuff because we all love reggae, UB40.
Huh.
And we started playing cover songs and mixing our own songs in there. And the next thing I knew, we were playing, you know, 2 or 3 times a month. And then we were playing every Friday and Saturday night. Huh. And then we were playing every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, sometimes Sunday night. The guys quit their jobs, and I had a growing company.
You got to be young to do this.
Yeah. Right? It was about 4 years ago, or five years ago.
Well, you still are young. I mean, but I'm saying, you know, those schedules are pretty grueling, aren't they?
It was.
Yeah.
I could go to Starbucks and be okay for a couple of days, but then I was just dying.
Well, this is encouraging for people listening because, you know, there's rock music, and you can transition into being a professional business person. So it can be done, right?
Or you can do them both at the same time.
Yeah, or you can't.
That's really hard.
Is that what you were doing?
That's what I was doing. So I was playing a show at night, breaking down at 2 in the morning, and then going to a meeting at 8 a.m.
Oh, my gosh.
So that got to be too much. The band got signed by an agent in Hollywood who put him on tour, and I couldn't go on tour, so that was my out from the band.
Wow, how do you like that? And a high IT star was born.
So
that's right.
Do music skills carry over into the IT profession?
I think they do, actually, because there's part of, you know, the engineer side of my brain that thinks very analytically and does critical thinking all day, but then there's the creative side of my brain that just free flows and feels what's going on, like when you're playing a song. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you just feel it.
Were you at UCSD engineering major or?
Computer science.
Computer science.
Yep.
You know, we had a Dr. Irwin Jacobs in here January of 2013.
Oh, yeah.
You've heard of him, right? And we got into, you know, he's got this passion for classical music. And so I said, aren't there some studies indicating that classical music or some music that can enhance your creativity and imagination? He goes, I think there are. And so obviously it's probably helped you out too.
That's how I started in music. My parents put me in piano lessons when I was 4, and I started reading music when I was 5 and started playing concert piano, and I got offered a piano scholarship to San Diego State.
Huh.
But I knew that I was never going to want to make money playing piano because there was no money playing piano.
Yeah, unless you're really top-notch, you Juilliard and all that.
Exactly.
Right? But that's fascinating stuff. So when you started the company, exactly what were you doing? I mean, in terms of, what were you working on?
Were you guy out there, you know, connecting wires and stuff? Is that
absolutely
where you started? Okay.
Yeah, Dylan and I, when we started together, we were doing everything together. So he was trying to do more of the business and sales side. I was trying to do more of the technical implementation and project side. And we started the company off of one client over the summer, where he was dating the general manager of Party City's daughter, and they had 7 locations around San Diego. And all of a sudden, overnight, he landed all 7 locations.
Amazing.
And the next thing I knew, he was accountable for him. He called me and said, I need help with this. And
he's busy. He needs help.
And that was the client that really let us start the company. And that was our first big set of projects. And then
so you did IT work for that company, basically, right? Handled all their...
all the point-of-sale systems, security systems, everything that was on the network.
Wow. Interesting.
How many employees are you now?
32.
Wow. So from 2 to 32.
And you just started, 5 years ago, you say, right?
12 years ago.
12 years ago. Wow. How about that? It's amazing. Amazing story.
So how has what you're doing changed in the last 12 years? Because I think about 12 years ago, and I think about IT as being in, you know, the dark ages.
Yeah. Well, I think IT is still in the dark ages.
You
That's
think so?
A really
yeah.
exciting thing.
Yeah.
But 12 years ago, everybody thought of IT as these little individual machines.
Right. Yeah.
And now there's just... tons of individual devices. I mean, people have 4 or 5 devices, and that's normal. Mm-hmm. And people before kind of understood that the technology would sometimes work, and if it broke, they were okay with it. But now everybody expects it to just work like electricity, which I believe it should.
Yeah, I think it should too.
Absolutely.
In fact, when it doesn't, I've been known to swear.
Right, but there's still a lot of engineers who have that old mindset where hey, it's broke. No, you know, don't worry about it. I'll get to it when I get to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but companies and banks especially, I mean, they can't afford any glitches in their programs,
well,
right?
Absolutely.
We live in a real-time 24/7 environment. So, I mean, things almost have to be instantaneous, don't they?
Absolutely. Otherwise, you're falling behind.
Right, right. That's how it feels, too.
So computer science and then, so you're CIO, Chief Information Officer?
That's correct.
Is that what they call that? Okay.
Yep.
And... So basically, let's just run down the services that you guys offer specifically for a business.
Yep. So we're an outsourced IT department, and most of our clients are between 25 and 500 employees. And in some cases, the smaller ones that are 25 or 50 employees, we take care of almost everything remotely, and we manage all of the infrastructure. We manage the design of the infrastructure. And the magic is that I sit down and meet with their executives and understand their business plan the way Sean met with us to try to understand our business plan before he started working with us, so that we were making recommendations that were aligned with the business plan, so that it wasn't just, here, this is a cool technology, why don't you try this? It was, let's try to understand what you're doing over the next 3 to 5 years and make sure we get this right. Let's make sure it's going to scale and grow with you.
There you go.
And is the trend for companies to outsource their IT as opposed to being in-house?
Absolutely. It's really hard to get really good engineers and keep them in-house. The average tenure of an engineer is only 18 months in IT.
Okay.
And a lot of times those engineers have that technology tunnel vision, and when they're implementing, they're making everything dependent on them instead of trying to grow and scale with the business. And sometimes it's not the case, but usually it is. And if you have a revolving door every 18 months and everything in the organization is somewhat dependent on that person and he leaves, then you have a big liability.
Sure. Yeah, it makes sense. But 12 years ago, a lot of companies were in-house, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep, and they had much bigger departments.
Right. Yeah, of course.
Outstanding.
Yeah, so, my joke is always the accounting department takes care of the HR department that takes care of the IT department, but nobody gets any work done.
How about in healthcare?
So I'm a big fan of outsourcing.
Yeah. healthcare. This is a big deal in healthcare now, right?
Yeah, more than 50% of our clients are healthcare.
Yeah.
So that's mainly what we focus on. And one of the first companies that we started working with was a healthcare company, a small outpatient medical group with 3 locations and 5 doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And I got exposed to EMR a long time ago, 10 years ago, before people were really doing it. Kaiser was doing it, but that mm-hmm. was about all.
Mm-hmm.
And
electronic medical records.
Yes, electronic medical records.
For the people out there.
Yep. And now a lot of groups are trying to deploy electronic medical records
mm-hmm.
and electronic scheduling and billing systems. And people are trying to, or hospitals are trying to connect with all these doctors, but you have more than 500 different systems out there that are all written slightly differently.
Yeah, so you have to kind of find a way to universalize that a little bit, I guess.
That's right.
At some point down the road. But
yep. And it's possible, but right now it's so expensive, a lot of smaller groups won't do it.
Yeah, interesting.
If you think about it, about 5 years ago, you had to have a special program to open a PC file on a Mac.
Wow.
And vice versa. Right.
Well, we'll get into more of those special programs and your special products when we come right back after new sports weather. So hang on, we'll be back right after this. All right, we are back, and that's some of Eric Rockwell's Safety Orange music, I think. Is that right, Eric?
Right.
All right. Over to Richard to thank our sponsors.
That's cool. UBS, Mr. Michael Carrancha and Drew Freitas. Couldn't do it without you guys. Right across the street from UBS in downtown La Jolla, Regions Bank. Of course, they also have a downtown office. Sean is over in the downtown office. Best business bank in San Diego. Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics. Great CFO service company if you love outsourced solutions. On the CFO side, nobody better in town than Jason. Our favorite CPAs on the planet, Paul Polito, who's next week's guest, and Don Epic CPA with Polito Epic CPAs up in Vista. Brenda Geiger with the law offices. Actually, it's with the Geiger Law Offices. She's got a great continuing education event for CPAs and attorneys and wealth advisors coming up at the Museum of Making Music on June 6th. A bunch of great speakers there, and I'm going to be speaking too. Cost Segregation Initiatives with Joel Grushkin. Helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. The planet's greatest business valuation expert. I just had an amazing conversation with him yesterday, Carl Sheeler with Berkeley Research Group. You talk about somebody who thinks about valuation in a way that it can actually help improve and increase the value of a business while reducing its risk. Carl Sheeler with Berkeley Research Group is your guy. Last but not least, the Lombardi Group and the LG Experience. Speaking about great events coming up, a great event coming up for CPAs that's a continuing education-focused event from June 16th to June 18th up at La Costa, helping CPAs become the most trusted advisor to their very best clients. And Joe, how can our wonderful listeners find out about our amazing roster of sponsors?
Well, if they just get on their computer or smartphone, get over to the Sponsors tab. It's at the very top of the page. There's a drop-down menu. You can click on any one of those or all of them, and their information's right there. Phone numbers, emails, their histories, everything else. And I know Richard has had great success working with all of them for many years, correct?
Many, many years. And if their computer's running slow, how can our listeners find Centrix IT?
Well, that's pretty simple. They go to
I thought so.
They go to CentrexIT.com, CentrexIT.com. So back with Eric Rockwell, formerly of Safety Orange.
It's the first time we ever had Safety Orange music as a lead in, Eric, just so you know.
I think I'm a new fan.
First time for everything.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out. Kind of like Lagwagon and all that, right?
Yeah.
I knew that one. Flogging Molly?
Absolutely.
See, there you go. I knew a little something.
Hey, Eric, before we get back to what you do, since we just did sponsors, what attracted you to Regions Bank, or what's the power behind Regions Bank for what your business is doing?
I think the big thing is, just like we try to understand a little more about our clients' businesses and what they're doing and what they're trying to accomplish, Sean really took the time to come in and meet our people and take a look at our numbers and our books and see what we were really trying to accomplish, and gave a lot of really in-depth advice that no other banker in town had ever talked to us about. So I thought that was great.
Oh boy, what an endorsement there.
So growing quickly, cash flow must be a real important issue for you to manage, I assume?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But isn't it great when you meet somebody, a professional in life or any, it could be a TED talk and it's like a wow thing. So I thought these people all thought this way, or you put them in this little box and you get somebody with some global knowledge or experience that you walk away saying, wow, we have to work with that person.
There's a reason why Regions Bank is our banking sponsor.
Yeah, there you go.
Because they're the best in town, especially if you've got a business that's growing.
Yeah.
Eric, you were mentioning you guys are sponsoring a neat event that's coming up later this year. You want to talk about that real quickly before we get technical again?
That's right. It's the Best Places to Work in San Diego event, and it's on April 7th. It's an event being put on by the San Diego Business Journal. And last year, we were voted the number 4 best place to work in San Diego at that same event. So this year, we're going to sponsor it and give a big thanks out to everyone in the business community who we love working with.
Yeah. Are you sure it's April 7th? Because we're...
I meant August 7th.
You meant August 7th.
Okay, there you go. Okay.
I was looking at it. It's August 7th, 2014.
Where's that going to be?
They both start with an A.
Yeah. Where are they? You know where this is going to be held? Any idea?
I think it's going to be at Paradise Point.
Oh, that's always...
Yeah, that's right. Paradise Point.
It's a good place.
Always a nice place for an event. Terrific. So these four products, the Build It, Grow It, et cetera, you want to get in a little depth on each one of those?
Yeah, that's our methodology. A lot of times we do an initial engagement with a company, similar to how Sean might, and a lot of it's consulting-based, so there's a little bit of a grow element in there. We need to understand what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's usually a build element, that's the project element, because usually something's not put right, and we need to redesign it and set it up correctly. And then in order to keep it running right, we have to manage it, because in technology, things change so quickly, mm-hmm. and if you set it up once and leave it, it's like a car. It might work for a while, but eventually it's going to break down.
Gotcha.
And cloud is part of our business model also. That's how we host and deliver data and services to a lot of our clients.
So I was presenting at a CPA conference about 7 years ago. Yeah, it was 2007, 7 years ago. This is a cloud question, and almost nobody in the profession was in the cloud. But I said, within the next 5 to 8 years, the professions, by that I mean CPAs, attorneys, wealth advisors, I said, there's going to be a massive movement towards the cloud. And everybody in the room looked at me like I was nuts, which is probably the case. But it turned out that what I said wasn't really inaccurate at all. It maybe hasn't been as fast as I thought. Can you talk a little bit about the cloud? I mean, is that a trend that particularly professional service firms, are they moving in that direction?
Absolutely. I mean, the whole trend is that someone else with more experience can do it cheaper, faster, better than you could if you did it yourself. And it's really hosting. And for a long time, that wasn't very popular because there were big security problems. There were big performance challenges. And people could do it better, faster, cheaper in-house. But now that technology has evolved the way it has, mm-hmm. you still can get a lot of those benefits that you used to get in-house, but get more benefits by letting your money do other things as opposed to keep buying and buying and buying more technology gear.
All that hardware, right? And racks and
all that hardware
takes up space and everything
yeah.
else. And...
Yeah, there's a lot of what I call big iron involved to make technology do what it does today.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it makes sense to still own that, mm-hmm. but in other cases it doesn't, and that's the cloud model.
And I think the cloud is more secure now than having your own server, just my opinion, at least for professional service providers.
Yep.
Because you know, most CPAs are famous for having their cleaning service come in at midnight with files sitting all around the office in paper form.
Exactly.
That's not very secure.
I mean, it all depends. I mean, there's always going to be security threats and challenges.
Of course.
And one of the things that I believe in is that it's really important to know and understand who actually is hosting your data and taking care of your data.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's just some pictures you don't care about, then that's fine. It's probably not a big deal. But if it's all of your clients' data that you're accountable for, then you should actually have more knowledge about who's accountable for that.
And then the security, and the data, it's backed up, isn't it? I mean, isn't it like mirrored sites and everything else? So if something goes down, you've got some fail-safe methods.
That's right. But there are all these tens of thousands of companies behind the cloud, mm-hmm. which is really hosting around the internet,
mm-hmm.
and some of them are better than others. That's why doing that due diligence is so important.
Mm.
Can you talk about who you work with or who you recommend?
Yeah, we've been building our own cloud infrastructure since 2004. That's a lot of how we started the company, because back then I saw the benefits of doing it, but mm-hmm. I also saw the benefits of doing it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So we were really doing that model for our larger clients, and they're the ones who could afford some of the other pieces of infrastructure they needed, like fiber connectivity going mm-hmm. back to their offices so it would be really high speed, because back then everything was something called copper-based, which mm-hmm. was really slow.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, you can get these really high-speed fiber circuits that are the same speed as having a network in your office, and you can get them lit up at all of your locations. So if you have 2, 3, 5, 10 locations, it doesn't matter. You can get that type of connectivity for almost the same cost as the old slow copper technology used to cost a few years ago. So that's really allowed a lot of smaller companies to move to the cloud and not have any performance challenges, but reap all the benefits.
It's all about building the better mousetrap, right? Even though it's high tech.
Yeah, people work differently now. I mean, we don't have as many people coming into offices, sitting in the same place working. It's 24/7 access. It's working different odd hours, weekends, nights, whatever the case may be. So being able to access things from wherever you are, I mean, it certainly, I think, enhances productivity. There's no question.
Absolutely. But again, with all this freedom, I think everyone has to remember the security element. Mm-hmm. There are security scares in the news all the time, mm-hmm. and I think over the next couple years, there are going to be a few really big breaches that are mm-hmm. going to let people kind of wake everyone up and say, whoa, I need to know who's got my data, and that's going to get things back on the right track.
Yeah, I mean, the monolithic bank, whose name I won't mention on the air, who I consider the evil empire, every 6 months they send me a new credit card because there's been another security breach on their end.
Happened with my bank a few weeks ago.
Hey, I've gotten a couple of freebies too. I mean, a couple of new credit cards. So, but anyway, we'll get more into this security and all this other highly technical stuff right after this. So hang on, we'll be right back after this break. All right, we're back in the home stretch here with Sean Puckett, Vice President of Regents Bank, and Eric Rockwell, CIO and President of CentrexIT.com for the website. And Eric, we were talking at the break about the cloud and how there's a private cloud and a public cloud and how you guys have cornered the market on the private cloud. You want to explain that a little bit for us?
Well, sure. Yeah. Public cloud are offerings like Google and Apple and things that everyone uses and has a little less security mm-hmm. because it's so open and accessible. Mm-hmm. And private cloud is what we do for our clients, and that's where we are the ones who are solely accountable for all of this infrastructure, and we're the ones who have all the liability for it. So we take extra good care of everything in the system and all the security around the data. Whereas in public cloud, sometimes there can be tens of thousands of people who have access to it, and there's really not as much accountability for it.
And of course, you had the foresight, I guess, a few years ago to harness this, and I guess you met some resistance from other advisors, but you went ahead and you want to explain how that all went down?
Yeah, we've been building this up since 2004 because we had some clients that really needed to leverage this, the power of the private cloud model. And we could share some of these resources securely across our clients because we were the ones who were accountable for all of our clients' data because we were their outsourced IT department. So we built this model to scale and specifically to save our clients money. And we kept doing that. And all of a sudden, cloud is now a big thing instead of this big scary thing like it used to be. Mm-hmm. And we have a really solid, scalable infrastructure that our clients are leveraging mm-hmm. as opposed to some of these other private cloud models that were built up and a little bit overbuilt, and now they're a lot more costly than they need to be because their expenses are a lot higher.
They have to regenerate themselves from scratch, basically. Huh? So wow, so that's a big competitive advantage for you.
Huge competitive advantage. Yeah, I mean, we're not doing it in order to be a big profit center for us. We're doing it as a benefit to all of our clients and a benefit to us.
Outstanding.
Hey, Eric, security question. The recent story about the major retailer that had a huge security breach, how did that all go down?
So that's kind of a funny one. So
depends on what you mean by funny, but anyway.
Funny from an engineering perspective. So there's a lot of different things in modern stores that are on the network now. Security cameras are on the network now a lot. Phones are on the network. HVAC and electrical systems, they're all on the network because mm-hmm. people can remotely monitor and manage those systems. Mm-hmm. Well, through that same network, they slipped in the same type of software that IT departments use to remotely manage and monitor computers, and it just crawled around the entire network across the country and seated itself on all these point-of-sale computers, and when they were ready to hit, they hit, and they started capturing all of our credit card information as consumers.
Now, this is some outside. Did they ever track down who did this, or could they find these people? Was it China, Russia? We don't know.
Yeah, they did vaguely track them down.
Okay. Do we know which country, or can't we say, or probably not a good idea to say?
Probably not.
Okay. One of those continents, dang it. But anyway, so these build it, manage it, cloud it, and grow it, those are all trademarked products of yours, right?
Yep. Those are all of our service products. That's how we do what we do for our clients.
Okay.
So, Eric, you're in an industry that's rapidly changing, to say the least. What's it going to look like a year from now, 5 years from now, in your opinion?
Well, we've been trying to find the best of the best engineers over, especially the last 5 years, as we've been growing, and that's really hard and challenging to do. So one of the things that we've done for our team is we have a completely free deli and breakfast bar, including an omelet bar, a sandwich bar, a whole bunch of free soda, free coffee, everything. All the food in the office is completely free to the team. And we're doing that to help keep everyone engaged and have more of that family style at the office and just have a great, comfortable place to work.
That's cool.
So that's about our company culture. And I think that a lot of companies in the industry are going to start shifting more towards company culture and focusing on that, because the companies who don't are going to start slowly dying off.
There's one big company, I think it's at SAS, they provide daycare on site for some of the families and some dry cleaning and all kinds.
We might have to do that someday, but a lot of our engineers are young, so.
Well, whatever. At mp3.com, they had an in-house masseuse. You had you just take like 20 minutes, you get a nice back rub, whatever, and, they did all kinds of things, but they spent way too much money on their employees, so be careful. They're not around. You guys are. So
that's why I got Sean watching my back.
Yes, you go. But now your standard client or your best clients, I see, you have medical offices, law firms, financial institutions. Would those be your target companies to work for?
Absolutely. I mean, anyone who has a growing business and a solid business here in San Diego, who has a good company culture that'll mesh well with ours, mm-hmm. who is very dependent on their technology to grow and succeed. That's a great client for us.
Yeah, outstanding.
And will any small or medium-sized companies have a standalone server, say, 10 years from now? Or will everybody be doing collaborative?
I'm sure there will still be some. I mean, my dad still has a record player.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there's still some vinyl albums out there and buggy whips, I guess, somewhere. But, it's all going that way, right? In the accounting world, right, Richard?
Oh, absolutely, in the accounting world. Yeah, it had to.
But the vast majority will be secure private cloud computing, and there will still be lots of public cloud resources, but security, I think, in the next 2 to 3 years will become a much bigger focus.
There you go.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. I think as people's expectations or as people's concerns about, I think the issue of security has been greatly alleviated over the last 3 or 4 years.
There's I call it, we're in the hippie era of the cloud.
Okay.
Where everything is everything is just free and wonderful and carefree.
The summer of love, 1967.
Exactly. So in a few years, I think we're going to have a few rude awakenings and start focusing on that a little more. So.
Now, you do some public speaking as well, right, Eric? What groups and organizations have you addressed?
That's right. So far this year, I've spoken at FEI, which is Financial Executives International, MGMA, which is Medical Group Managers Association, and the California CPA Society.
What did you speak about at the Cal Society?
I actually spoke about the risks of what is now called Heartbleed, and something that was called Crypto Locker, before it hit big on April Fool's Day. Well, so I spoke about IT security, but I actually used those as examples, and now they're big news stories.
Sure.
Heartbleed, and what was the other one?
Crypto Locker. That's one of my favorite scams.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a terrible scam, but you get a zip file in an email attachment, kind of like you did 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But when you double-click on it, it encrypts everything that you have access to, even if it's stuff in Dropbox or on the network.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
And it holds the password for ransom. So you have 48 hours to pay $400 to get the password to all your stuff.
Or
it's lost forever unless you have a backup.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that? There's more scams out there. I never click on any. If I don't know who it's from, I never click on any, especially things that you have to open. And they've got some really, the fish out there, I mean, from banks, and whatever. They've got the logos and stores or whatever. So
I used a whole bunch of those examples at Cal CPA and showed some really cool tips and tricks where you can mouse over the links in those emails, for example, and without clicking on them, see where they really go.
Yeah.
And most of the time, it doesn't go to Bank of America or PayPal or where it says it's going.
It's going
to some crazy Russian website.com / a bunch of numbers.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've done that. I've held that over there, and, it's got some long string of numbers and letters or whatever, but it's certainly not from the institution they say. So, Anyway, that's good advice for anybody. You ever had a problem with that, Richard?
You know, there's so many things I don't open. I'll email back saying, is this a safe thing to open? Of course, you never get a response, so you know it's not.
Oh, my gosh. We have to wrap it up.
Sean Puckett, thanks for bringing Eric in.
Yeah, thank you, Sean. Good to see you. Eric Rockwell, Centrex IT, Eric Rockwell. So great
Regions Bank with Sean Puckett.
There you go. Richard, great to see you this week. And thanks to Justin Hart, our sound engineer, for making us sound good. Thanks to Craig Blanke, our account executive. And thanks to Dave Sniff, our programming genius. So, and congratulations to everybody who had all these openings this week. The county, Give Big, and everything else. So, Padres, score some runs. Get out there, play some tennis. We'll see you at the Aviators on July 7th. Andy Roddick, Billie Jean King, July 8th, all at the Sports Arena. Have a great week, everybody. Good night. We'll see you next time.